Hello and good evening. Welcome to another episode of Between the Presets, a podcast by me, Rudy Stettner, that comes out every Monday evening. Here is the place where anything that can be said in polite company is fair game for discussion, even if it occasionally offends. Let's roll. Please be advised that this episode of Between the Presets contains material that may be unsuitable for younger audiences. If that is an issue, please listen at another time or on headphones. Thank you. Just a slight little correction. I find this embarrassing. It is not the 5th of March. It is the 4th of March. I was looking at the February page on the calendar, so... Not only that, it's the 24th of Adar 1, not the 27th, so I really messed up on the date. So having inserted that correction, please excuse me. And tonight, of course, it is the 25th of Adar 1. Since on the Jewish calendar, the calendar changes at sunset rather than at midnight. Hello, it is Monday evening, the 27th of Adar 1, 5784, that being the 5th of March, 2024. Yesterday, Sunday, was a beautiful day. It was almost as though spring was giving us a sneak preview of what warm weather would feel like. Today, it was a bit cooler. I think the one thing I like about cool weather is that if I'm keeping groceries, perishable groceries, in my trunk, that I have a little bit more latitude before I rush home. I don't have to worry about meat and milk spoiling. I'll have to come up with some life hacks when the weather gets really hot and my trunk is no longer like a refrigerator. I got some really helpful feedback about content and sound quality on my podcast from one of my listeners, and I really appreciated that. Unfortunately, it might take a little while for me to tweak the settings on my podcast so that the opening music is not too loud and the voice is not by comparison too soft. I really appreciate hearing from people about things like that. I don't have any commercial sponsors yet, so I don't run commercials, but the following is kind of like an anti-commercial, a non-commercial. Every winter, I get very dry skin. When I was a kid, it was always chapped hands. Now it seems to have spread to my face, my forearms. So in desperation, due to the less than overwhelming results I was getting from the various skin creams I tried, I went into my kitchen, got some olive oil, smeared it on my face, which was extremely dry, and on my hands and my forearms. And immediate relief, by grace of God. The feeling I had of a subtropical sunburn without having even left New York City, the feeling of constant itching, etc., was greatly diminished. The results were so good, I washed out an old bottle of expired medicine, filled it up with olive oil, and now I carry it with me. No cosmetic or pharmaceutical company will get rich off of this little life hack, but it works beautifully for me, and it doesn't come from the medicine cabinet, it comes from the kitchen. And out of curiosity, you should know, I was wondering if other vegetable oils could achieve the same result. Quite a while ago, I used canola oil, vegetable oil. No, nothing beats olive oil. So the only question now, and this has been in the news lately, is whether the olive oil I'm using is truly 100% olive oil. I'm guessing that there's enough real olive oil there, because thank God it works pretty nicely. So in matters of health, if you can go to your kitchen before you go to the pharmacist, if you can tweak your diet before you get something new prescribed, great idea. On a different subject, when I was a kid, since I was a child, the entertainment landscape has changed greatly. People between my parents' age and my grandparents' age quite often listened to a performer named Lawrence Welk. He used to play this kind of bubbly music that earned the name champagne music. And I was not a fan of his music at all. Neither were my parents. But the guy had a funny accent. He was self-conscious about it. It took a lot of coaxing to get him to speak more on stage as his career blossomed from traveling musical tours to television. But I always liked his accent more than I liked his music, but I never bothered to check into it. Accents and the stories behind them, why some people talk one way and other people talk another, is a source of endless fascination to me. So this weekend, I watched an A&E documentary available on YouTube about the life and career of Lawrence Welk. What I found was very interesting. He was born in Strasburg, North Dakota in 1903 in a German-speaking community. Now, we have this concept that if somebody speaks German, that they're from Germany. Actually, his parents came from the city of Odessa, what was then the Russian Empire, and today is Ukraine. And Lawrence Welk did not speak English at all until he was 21 years old. He grew up in a town in which one could get along just fine without knowing any English at all. He had a fourth grade education, and his parents had hoped that he would follow in the family business and work on the family farm. He couldn't stand farm work. He was always drawn to music. I think sometimes during their leisure time, his parents would, sing in the family living room. And he had a dream of somehow making it in the world of music. And when he was in his teens, which must have been about close to 1920, I didn't get the dates right, he borrowed from his father and repaid to the last penny. He borrowed for $400 and money to buy an accordion. And apparently it was a state-of-the-art accordion with piano-style keys. And he took very naturally to playing that instrument for local engagements, etc. But one thing I found interesting, kind of instructive, morally, is that his first big break ultimately was, if you'll excuse the pun, a ruptured appendix. That's extremely dangerous when the appendix ruptures. It requires immediate surgery. People sometimes die from it. And Lawrence Welk convalesced for about a year. And before he could, you know, return back to farm work and anything, he couldn't do anything in that condition. And during that time, he taught himself to play the accordion, taught himself music, and emerged from his convalescence with enough musical skill that he could move forward. Now, he came from a religious family. He clung to that as he climbed the ladder of success. And that's a universal theme in religious traditions, that sometimes when a door slams in one's face, sometimes when something seems to be a terrible misfortune, it carries within it a sort of blessing. I'm sure as he did farm work that he was none too fond of, that he was praying for his, you know, big break into the world of music making and entertainment. And his big break indeed came through a ruptured appendix. While I certainly do not pray for or seek such painful blessings, the episode of the ruptured appendix in Lawrence Welk's life certainly makes me examine my own life's trajectory and see how doors that slammed in my face actually pointed me in another direction. Now, if I were to follow my musical tastes, I would have preferred to have read about the Beatles, Billy Joel, or somebody whose music I feel more of a connection to. But I have to tell you that reaching outside of my accustomed musical tastes and reading about Lawrence Welk was really a pleasure. Now, in my own family, on my mother's side, I found out from a cousin of mine that my grandparents grew up in an enclave where one could spend one's entire day speaking only Croatian. I had an aunt who never left the United States, and she managed by the mid-70s to have still clung to a bit of a Croatian accent. But I find the evolution of American English and all of its regional variants to be endlessly fascinating. I think Bill Bryson wrote a book about American English. The title slips my mind. But when the English language crossed the Atlantic Ocean and took root in new conditions with new neighbors, it underwent some really interesting changes. And as much as I enjoy learning about my family history, my family tree, reflecting on how my origins shape me and my consciousness, I am at least as interested in examining the history of the language, which indeed shapes how I think. One of my favorite quotations on this subject is a simple one from Ludwig Wittgenstein. The limits of my language are the limits of my world. I like examining how the way I phrase something in my own mind or in discussion can sometimes limit or sometimes enhance my ability to cope with it. Two examples come to mind. One is I had a challenging class in linguistics that involved pitch and tone. And given that I have, you know, some hearing impairments, that made an already challenging subject even more challenging. So I came to the professor after class to seek some guidance in areas of difficulty. I certainly didn't want to appear to be lacking in due diligence, and I really wanted to master that facet of linguistics. And instead of saying, I'm not good at this, which is a phrase that I would have used throughout my elementary and high school years, I thought for a minute and I said, this is at the edge of my existing skill set. And I think that that mentality, along with help from the professor, enabled me to get a B grade, which was rather kind of him, instead of something much lower. A second, for instance, was, I think it was something from when I was raising teenagers. Kids can be very challenging. Tempers can heat up on both sides. And I remember thinking, wow, I'm mad at him. And then I thought for a minute, and I instead of using the language of emotions, I used the language of genetics. Now, in genetics, and my mastery of the subject is extremely limited, you have dominant genes and recessive genes. Somebody could have, for instance, a dominant brown-eyed gene mixed with a recessive blue-eyed gene, and they will have brown eyes. But if they marry somebody with blue eyes, the blue-eyed genes could combine and produce a blue-eyed baby. So taking this over to describing human emotions, when I was able to say, right now, to myself, my kid would have thought I was crazy. I just said, right now the emotion of anger is dominant. And that changed the whole game for me. It was acknowledging in my mind that I was capable with feeling 2, 3, even more emotions at once. Another thing I did when I was reflecting on how language shapes my thought and coping skills and human relationships is to not say that or he or she makes me sad or angry or puzzled, but to say instead, I feel sad or angry when you say that. That actually takes the responsibility away from the person, and it leads to a whole new line of self-questioning, as in, why do I feel angry when somebody says something? I used to have a coworker who, if there was a disagreement, one of his favorite lines was, "Hey, sucks to be you," which when I was a kid would be borderline profanity, but I guess today not so much. But I found the expression to be a little bit taunting, even dismissive, and I ended up solving that little problem by just limiting my interaction with this individual. But I couldn't really control the words that came out of his mouth, but I could certainly control how I responded to them. So in wrapping up, I thank you all for listening for yet another week. Although this week's podcast has been mostly apolitical, I hope that everyone will continue to pray for the release of the Israeli hostages being held in Gaza, their release in the best possible conditions, and without the slightest concession to terror and extortion. The idea of placing innocent children on the same level as terrorists and murderers is to me a moral obscenity. Not only that, such concessions invite further atrocities on a larger scale. So I hope and I pray for a just peace in Israel and surrounding areas. That's good for everyone, good for all of us. I'm also hoping and praying for an honest election. I'm grateful that the Supreme Court frustrated attempts to keep Donald J. Trump off of the ballot in Colorado. He has not been convicted of any crime that would bar him from holding higher office, despite the campaign of lawfare against him. There might be some listeners out there who would disagree with some of the sentiments I've expressed, but that's life. Sometimes you can collaborate as friends and co-workers in one area and disagree in others. We should strive for the kind of world in which such collaboration is possible and in which one can, as is often said, agree to disagree. So y'all have a good rest of your week. This wraps up another weekly episode of Between the Presets. I thank you all for the pleasure of sharing with me my weekly muse. Whatever platform you access, hitting like, subscribe, or leaving a comment is much appreciated. My email address is thewinterriders@gmail.com. thewinterriders@gmail.com. Until next week, adio, which in some African languages means born on Monday or be righteous, and closely resembles adios in Spanish.